Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
And we begin the afternoon hour with Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur, who sits down with us. Great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
They irritate him right as he's walking over by saying something about the offensive effort. Defense obviously knows what's coming at this stage, and you guys didn't have the best day in terms of forcing things in.
Yeah, anytime you turn the ball over, you're not going to be happy about it. And our guys know that's paramount. There's no bigger indicator between wins and losses than ball security, so we got to own the ball.
What do you feel like the timing is in the offense, and what's a good percentage? I'm looking for 7-on-7 and in team in terms of the ball coming out on time, like as drawn up.
Well, it's interesting to talk about that because that's like paramount to good quarterback play, is we always talk about decision timing and accuracy. And so we're grading these guys on every play in terms of is the ball coming out on the right hitch or on the plant or on the second hitch. And so those guys are constantly and probably annoyed by us in terms of just being on them every snap, whether it's 7-on-7 or team, just getting the ball out on time.
How's the rate been?
I think it's been getting better. You know, it's always a process, right? Anytime you learn a new offense, it takes time for those guys. But I think that there's been some ups and downs, and namely, like you were saying, the last two days maybe have not been as good as what we've been doing, but I still think we're making progress. I think the guys are learning a lot. It's certainly not for a lack of effort. I mean, they're out there busting their butt each and every day, and we just got to continue to grind and chip away and try to get a little bit better each and every day.
Well, one more on that. You're saying on a hitch. So we hear a lot of times about it's supposed to, oftentimes supposed to come out as soon as the back foot hits. That's not always the case.
Yeah, it just totally depends upon what concept we're running. You know, we'll have some plays that are plant and throw where you reach the top of your drop and your back foot hits and the ball needs to come out. And then there are other plays where you may be keying off a certain defender and you might be throwing a flat route or a curl route on the same timing, which is a one-hitch throw. And if neither one of those are open, you got to get down to your check down on your second hitch.
Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur with us on the Midday 180. We asked you in the spring about rushing in installing your offense and how you know when you're rushing with the players. Have you reached a point where you thought you were rushing too much and getting that installed at any point this offseason?
Not really. I think that initially, within the first few days of camp, I feel like that it might have been a little bit overwhelming, although it was the second time for these guys hearing the stuff. But it's always a process, and I think the guys have really studied. And I'll tell you what, this speaks to the young guys, the guys that maybe don't have as much experience. Mm-hmm. They certainly were in their books in the off season, and it was evident because they came back and they were on top of their game. So I think that's allowed us to continue to move forward.
What's the one piece to this scheme other than quarterback that makes this scheme go? You know, we're talking with Coach Dave McGinnis, and he's defended this scheme. He's talked about it for years, and he says it's hard to actually pinpoint, other than just the intermediate routes, where you're trying to focus on. How would you describe what makes the engine turn?
I think it takes all 11, and we stress it every day. It takes all 11 in the run game and all 11 in the pass game. And we are constantly on our receivers, and you will see their effort, I'm confident, when we get out on the field. You're going to see them blocking in the run game, and that's going to help set up our pass game, because if we can consistently run the football, then, we're going to try to have those same actions off our run schemes.
Offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur with us on the Midday 180.
Matt, you know exactly what you want to see in this offense, and you know the complete picture when you go into it. I would think the most frustrating part of coaching at times would be knowing when to put the foot on the gas in terms of what you're giving the players and when to back off, because you probably want to see that complete picture and not just paint it piece by piece. How do you gauge when enough is enough for a day when you might need to scale back a little bit, or maybe when you're just looking at a player and realizing they're not completely getting what I'm saying, I need to back down a bit.
Yeah, I just think it's what is put out on the tape. When you watch a tape, are we having a lot of mental errors? Are we having guys, you know, using the proper technique? Because at the end of the day, and I know Vrabes hits on this all the time, it really truly is about fundamentals. So we got to make sure we stay sharp with our fundamentals, and you know, they got to be on top of their assignments. And if guys are able to do both, then I think you feel comfortable as a coach to continue to press them and install whatever it is you need to get done in order to, you know, put the best product out on the field.
Is that something you can tell live during practice while you're watching the guys, or do you not really get the complete picture until you go back and watch practice film?
Oh, you definitely have to go back and watch the tape.
Definitely,
you know,
have to watch it?
You definitely. I mean, there's certain things you see at the point of attack, for sure, because that's where your eyes are, but it's hard to, you know, focus on everything. You see nothing. So you focus on a small portion of it or the point of attack, and you see what goes on.
We've talked so much about Marcus Mariota physically, being healthy and the wide base that he worked on and stuff like that. What's your sense of him mentally? What has he done since last season, since you've been with him, maybe to hone things in mentally?
Yeah, I think he's come a long way. I really do. He looks more and more comfortable. I think we're operating better in and out of the huddle, and that's always, you know, you can get a pretty good gauge by how quickly you're getting to the line of scrimmage and the plays are getting spit out. So I definitely think he put the time in. He understands what we're trying to do on offense. And again, it's just, it really comes down to reps for him. You know, he's got a bunch of plays that he may have not repped before, and we got to continue to feed him, you know, game-like reps.
You kind of told me yesterday to be careful. Hey, you know, we didn't know we were going to fall into so much three wide with the Rams. It's just kind of how it happened. It doesn't mean it's what's going to happen here. You did a lot of tight splits with the Rams, too, that gave you some interesting spacing that you guys were able to take advantage of. Would you call that a philosophical thing that you'll try to take advantage of anywhere? Or is it one of those other kind of things that you kind of stumbled into that worked with what you were doing with the Rams and that we won't necessarily see?
No, I think you'll see a wide variety. I think you'll see us, you know, bunched up at times or in two-man stacks and, you know, really try to condense the field to expand it a little bit. And I also think you'll see a lot of full width. You know, it just depends. Really, what we're trying to do is try to find a way to give us an advantage on offense and give our players an advantage so when they go out there that they can execute. So.
That was interesting what you said, condense to expand. Talk me through how that works, how being tight actually lets you expand things.
Yeah, a lot of teams will get in tight, and then they'll run guys to the flat or whatever, and you might have a flat stick combination where you're really trying to stress the defense horizontally. So, I mean, we have a lot of different concepts that you know, tries to put that stress on the defense.
Matt LaFleur with us on the Midday 180. Coach, as a play caller, when you're studying and breaking down film of the opposing defense, is it more important for you to figure out against that defense how you can get your offense in rhythm or find out where you can take your shots against that defense?
That's the magic question. I think you're always trying to create shots and create big plays because, I mean, if you look at traditionally in this league, it's hard to just consistently methodically march the ball down the field, and the teams that score points are the teams that are typically up there in the top of the league in terms of explosive plays. So, you know, we're going to try to take some shots, and then, you know, when you get to third down situations, it's about moving the chain. So, you know, we'll try to attack accordingly to again try to generate as many points as possible.
Do you envision yourself when you have a full stable of wides with one of them being the primary slot guy? Or do you envision rolling multiple people through the slot?
I guess my past experience, it just totally depends on what the player's skill set is. Ideally, yeah, you'd like to have a guy that you can consistently line up in the slot. But I also think, you know, I think about when we were in Atlanta and some of the stuff, you saw Julio Jones line up in the spot in the slot a lot, too. So it just is totally dependent on the player's skill set and what... you know, we're just trying to enhance what they do or you know, bring out their strengths. And if a guy's capable of doing that, we're just going to put him in there.
Taywan Taylor had been a 65% slot guy here as of last week. He told me he'd run 100% of his snaps outside? Do you envision him in and out, or how much is him being outside a result of Rashard not being out here, and how much is it that you like him outside?
We really like Taiwan outside. You know, he's a fast guy that can take the top off the coverage, and really it's ultimately it's going to come down to what Taiwan can handle, because he certainly is you know, got a dynamic skill set. You know, he can separate, he can take the top off the coverage, but at the same time, we don't want to overload any of these guys with too much information. So we want to get him settled in and see, you know, just kind of see where it goes.
Matt, do you mind reading the wristband on your left hand and why you wear it?
I can't do that on the radio, can I?
Yeah, you can.
No, it was a thing that goes back to Atlanta. We had a Navy SEAL group come in, and it says embrace the suck. So basically, what it means to me is that not every situation is going to be great. It, you know, there's going to be some adversity, some bumps in the roads, and you got to stay the course, and you got to keep fighting and grinding and scratching and clawing and try to, you know, be as positive as you can on a daily basis. And that, I think that speaks to what the NFL is all about, because, you know, any given Sunday, any team can show up and take it to the other team. So you got to be resilient, and you just got to try to stay positive and just keep grinding away.
Do your little kids know embrace the suck?
No, not yet.
Hey, Gary Kubiak, it's hard to tell about quality control coaches in the NFL, right? I mean, we don't get to know them that well. But Kubiak would tell media members in Houston, hey, this Matt LaFleur, he's the quality control coach. He's going to be a coach. Watch out for him. Would he tell you that privately? Was he that, like, did you embrace that behind the scenes as well? Because we're talking with John McClain in Houston recently, and he told us that story.
I never knew that. So I appreciate that, Coach.
Was he hard on you?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that's what, you know, I'm a byproduct of what those guys have taught me. And when you get to learn from some of the best minds in the game, like, you should naturally want to be and emulate what they do. And so I think, you know, just being around Coach Kubiak, Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Dan Quinn, you know, they kind of set a standard for what you vision as a coach, and you're always trying to live up to those standards. And I have the utmost respect for all those guys. I'm very thankful to have worked for all those guys. I've learned a lot from all those guys. So I feel like it's put me in a better position to this date.
Let's play pretend, because I know you're not going to call a bad play ever. But in the future, say week two, you make a call, doesn't work out. In hindsight, you didn't like the call. In hindsight, Vrabel didn't like the call. What's he going to be like coming to you? He's obviously given you a lot of autonomy. This is your baby, it feels like. Do you have a sense yet for how he's going to be in those moments, or is that kind of part of the quilt you guys are putting together?
That's definitely part of the learning curve. I'm not quite sure, you know. I will say this about him. He's been super supportive. He's always trying to help us out with what gives defenses in his mind problems. And, you know, we're constantly working together, and he's been great to work for. I got a lot of respect for him. I know all the coaches, all the players have a lot of respect for him, and he's a great leader. So I feel fortunate to be with him. And, you know, I'm sure there are going to be some bumps in the roads, but I think we'll work through it together.
There are some out there that believe that Thursday will be your first time calling plays in the NFL. That's not accurate, though, right? You called plays in the preseason for the Rams, correct?
That is correct. I did versus Oakland last year in the second half, and then, ironically enough, versus Green Bay in the fourth preseason game last year. So, you know, that's a credit to you know, working for a guy like Sean McVay, and just he was a guy that really wanted to empower us, and that's all the assistants. And so it definitely it calms the nerves a little bit coming into this game. At least I know how to use that coach to QB communicator, and it won't be my first time doing it.
How'd you do? Great.
What did he
think of what you did in those chances?
I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, there's not a lot of game plan that goes on in the preseason, so it really is more or less just running plays that you feel like your guys have a chance to go out and execute. So as far as, there were some good play calls, and there were certainly some ones that you'd like to have back, but I think that's the case on a weekly basis, but hopefully there's a lot more good than bad.
Dolphins a little late with that helicopter to watch you guys practice, right?
Also, yeah. Matt would like to let you know that Gurley wasn't in the game during those moments.
Yeah, we were missing a couple other guys, too.
Hey, great to catch up with you in person. We've had you on the show a couple of times by phone, but thanks for doing this.
We're enjoying it.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoy getting to know you guys as well.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks.